How you all going? Good. By the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. All right, so this morning we're going to continue our series on looking at the questions that God asks us over time through the scriptures. Now, even though these questions were asked a long time ago into a specific situation, to a specific person, and you know, you think that's for that event, I believe when you look at it, these are actually universal questions that we will need to answer at some point in our lives. And that's because the questions, when you read them, when you look at them, the questions that God asks actually expose the human condition. They're actually questions that sort of reveal what's in the person's heart, which is often our response, our reaction to situations. So you look, you see, oh, wow, that's me. God is asking the same question to me. They reveal our inner motives and thoughts in a given situation. But those questions weren't asked to make us feel condemned and for God to push us aside, but they were asked in order to allow God to bring us into a new place in our lives. So we have to answer what God is asking us if we want to grow in Him. So many people would be surprised that God asks us questions. We often think that we need to be asking God the questions. You know, why aren't you doing this? Why is there evil? Why aren't you good and kind? Why you know, did this happen? And we think we need to ask God the questions because we have this concept. We can have this concept, not all of us here. Maybe Sue has this concept, but not all of us here. We see God as being someone who is their servant, the one who exists to do their bidding. You know, I want a good life. God, like a genie. God, I want a good life. Give me good cars and all that kind of stuff. Someone to call upon whenever we get ourselves into trouble, which is often our fault. We do the trouble. Oh, God, come and help me. But the truth is, God is not our servant. He is our master. And we have been given life. We have been given the chance to have life in order to serve Him, to be partners with Him. We exist because God says, I've created you for a purpose, to be part of what I'm doing here on the earth. And so if we get our head around that understanding and say, we're actually here to serve God, then our life is like, God, what do you want me to do? We ask God those questions, what do you want me to do, rather than trying to tell Him what to do. And in the study of the human condition, I peaked there, my voice. That's awesome. It's all over. We're all downhill from here. In the study of the human condition and of life, King Solomon took his time, he wrote a book about it, and at the end of his book, he declared that after all his search for meaning and what a human life is worth, he came to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which says this. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, in other words, about life and about all things. He says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So our whole reason for existence is to serve God and obey God. It's where we find our true worth and value. And so in the first sermon of this series, we looked at how Adam and Eve were asked the question, where are you? And that came as a result of Adam and Eve disobeying God from eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that disobedience caused them to now start to hide from God. Prior to that, God was walking with them in the garden. But when they disobeyed God, suddenly the sin came into their life and they realized what they had done. They realized how much they had done wrong with God. And so they went into hiding. They tried to hide from Him. And so God called out to Adam and Eve. God asked them this question, where are you? Not because He'd lost them. He sort of, you know, where are you? He actually knew where they were. But He asked that question to help draw them out of hiding, out of their guilt and shame. Because, you know, had He not asked that question, they would have stayed there in fear with shame and guilt. But God came to them and said, where are you? Come out. And so he called them out of hiding, and actually in that process He was able to restore them. He was able to cover their guilt and shame. So it wasn't a question of condemnation, but it was a question that helped bring redemption in their life. And then the second question we looked at was when God was calling Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And Moses, prior to this, was on the run. He'd been gone into hiding because he'd killed someone in Egypt, and everybody knew about it. And so he realized, I'm done here, I've got to go. And so he took off, and he went into the desert and was hiding there away from his captors. And God comes to him and calls him to lead the people, but he says, I'm not worthy. I'm just insufficient. I can't do this. God, you've got the wrong guy. And so God says to him, well, what do you have in your hand? And once again, God was not interested in Moses hiding or us hiding, but he says, Moses, listen, my people are suffering. I need someone to go and rescue them. You are that guy. If you don't think you're capable, then what have you got in your hand? And all he had was a shepherd's staff. And God said, listen, just take what you've got on you, and give it to me, and I'll make it enough. Oh, you might feel incapable. You might feel unworthy to lead people, to do God's will. But God says, all I need is what you have on you, your tools, your experience, your gifts, your talents, whatever it is, what you've got, what you've developed within your life. God says, if you give it to me, I can cause that thing to be something that leads people into freedom. Hallelujah. He had a shepherd's staff, right? So he gets to the... I won't do that because we're going to get up there. Anyway, this is what 1 Corinthians says. I was getting ahead of myself, and it's terrible because I saw my head roll off. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Looks like I need to upgrade my glasses. I feel like I was in an optometrist. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Friends, do you see yourself in there? Because I can see myself in there. And I think, thank you, God, that it's not me. It's just the fact that you want to use whoever is available. We're not that special. I'm not here in this church because I'm special. Maybe I'm special in a certain way, Susan, but I'm not special. It's just that God chooses, thank you. I wish my therapist would say that too. God chooses the weak things of the world. God chooses the base things. God chooses the foolish things. I say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to try and strive to be something that I'm not. So all that we have on us, our skills and experiences that we've been developing throughout our life, there are things that you have developed in your talents that you have developed in your life that you might think, well, that doesn't apply in a spiritual situation. But friends, all those things are important. And in God's hands, say, God, this is what I've developed. These are the skills I have, the talents that I have, God can use for his glory. Amen. You know, there is nothing that we have on us. Even our pain and suffering is never wasted when we put into God's hands. Because God takes those experiences, God takes our failures, God takes our inadequacies to use it for his glory. Because when we are weak and inadequate and strive for God, God gets the glory, not us. Hallelujah. Don't clap, throw money, but don't throw coins because they hurt. So, the next question we'll be looking at can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And this is now the situation where Moses has now stepped up after a bit of dialogue and debate and arguing with God, even to the point of saying, look, send someone else. And so God says, look, you know, I can't even talk. I can't even speak. God, send someone. And so he says, look, take Aaron with you. And so they get through the whole situation, all the stuff that goes on. And so now they're out. He's led the people of Israel out. And so it says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near that place, near a certain place, and the sea. Apparently they do good pizzas there. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite that other place. It's amazing. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And it says, and it's, this, he, this is what he says to them. He's telling Moses. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. He says, this is what's going to happen, dude, right? Now, I'm not judging them because I would be the same as what happens here. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his armies, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. You know, they only knew that for a split second. All he needs is a split second. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. As most manufacturers say, what have we done? We've lost the free labor. So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have we done that you by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. This is most of my prayers week to week. I'm such a man of faith. Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. You know, if I'm crying out to God, if I'm in prayer, I'm going through a difficult situation, the last thing I want to hear from God is say to me, why are you crying out to me? What do you mean, why am I crying out to you? Listen, man, I'm desperate. I need an answer. I need help. Why? What have I got to do with it? Why are you asking me? And so we see that the Israelites, they're getting to this point where they've left Egypt. They've left the slavery, but they get to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is in front of them. They've got nowhere to go, and then they look behind, and they see the Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. And so, like any one of us, they start to panic. They're fearing, we've been set up here. We've been put into a situation where we're going to die. This is a death trap. And so, God, you need to move. And God says, why are you crying out to me? Why? Why are you crying out to me? You know, friends, sometimes when we face impossible situations, God will ask us the same question, why are you crying out to me? And it's not because he doesn't care. It's not a question that God is asking to create more fear or to create a sense of abandonment by God. God is not saying, well, you know, so what? God is not saying that in this situation, but it's a question to help us move forward in faith to see God bring about a breakthrough in our lives. See, God told, in context, God did say, this is what I'm going to do. So he's saying, well, why are you? I've already told you what's going to happen. Why are you crying out to me? So friends, my first point this morning, sometimes we just don't need to pray. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray, but there are times, friends, that we have to realize that after all the praying that we've done, sometimes we've got to stop praying. And sometimes it's a thing to say, now I've got to act. I've been praying, I've been bringing this before God, and now God will say, stop praying, get up and move forward. right? It's a challenge for us. Now, prayer, please don't take a photo of this and send it on Spotlight and then suddenly say, here's a pastor preaching, no praying, all right? Prayer is a necessary discipline that we need to practice regularly. But there are times, friend, when God expects us to stop praying and to take steps of faith. We are called to balance prayer and action, okay? But sometimes we can use prayer as a fear thing to say, I'll just keep praying so I don't have to make a decision. I'll just keep praying, and so I don't have to make a decision. But friends, at some point God says, you've prayed enough, get up and move forward. There's a time to cry out to God, but there's also a time to move forward in faith, trusting that God will part the sea before us. And if we are stuck in a situation where we don't know what option to take, we need to ask ourselves, have I prayed about it? Have I been praying through? If so, then perhaps God is calling us to take a step forward in faith. And like I said earlier, God did tell Moses, this is what I'm going to do. So he already got the word from God, but fear came in. And so you've got to listen to what God has said to you. And perhaps then it's like, okay, I've heard, I've now got to step forward. Psalm 37 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, I forgot to take that A away. And he delights in his way. Though, listen to this, I love this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. He says, I have been young and now am old. I'm not reading this. I'm just quoting what someone else has said. I have been young and not now am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. See, friends, when we step out in faith, when we step forward, know that God is faithful, God is trustworthy, and we can trust him to guide us. It's that it is the steps, friends. It is the steps. It's the movement that we make of a person who is praying, who is believing in God, who's trusting in God. Even if you don't know which way is the right way to go, it's as you step forward, as you start to make movement, God will direct your steps. Sometimes we want the whole clarity of the thing to open up. We want God to show us everything, have every answer in front of us, but God will say, just step forward with what you know to do and I will direct your path. You might be going the wrong way, friends. The steps of a good man might be going the wrong way, but friends, it's the Lord who guides his steps. Get back over here, you stupid idiot. Going the wrong way. I think about us with coming to Strathalbyn. We didn't know the answers. We saw a lot of, we saw the issues that were going on, and we didn't know what the thing, but we just stepped out. We just said, God, we're just going to take a step of faith, and look at us, we're still struggling. It's over. But, you know, God is good. He guides us in the way that we should go. Sometimes you think, I could be making the mistake. I could be making the mistake. One of my teams that I follow is Manchester United, the greatest team soccer team that's ever existed on the face of the earth. And there are no doubts about it. But the manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, he said that when he was wanting to buy players, he said he did all the assessment of that player. He gathered all the information that he felt he needed before he chose that player. He said then after he just bought the player based on what he knows. He said, listen, you know, once you know the decision, once you know the facts, make the decision. The rest is up to them. And sometimes it didn't work out. But it doesn't mean that he was a failure. He just said, listen, what I know, this is the facts, and I'm going to step out. It was a step of faith to buy a player. And so oftentimes there was success, other times they're not. Sometimes for us guys, there might be failure in our steps. But friends, let's not let that failure hold us back in stepping forward, because God may want to use that failure to teach us something, help us to become more aware of maybe some deficiencies that we have. But if we give it to God, God can do the work. You know, the Red Sea didn't part until the Israelites stepped forward in obedience. They could have cried out to him all they wanted, but God already knew the situation. He just needed them to step out in faith. And maybe this morning, God is not answering your prayer because he's already answered your prayer. He just needs you to stop praying and stop stepping out for him to deliver on your prayers. Now, when I'm saying stop praying, I'm not saying keep praying, but stop asking for God to do something. Keep praying. God, keep praying like, God, I'm stepping out. Help me, God. I'm going to keep praying. But don't go, oh, God, show me the way. Show me the way. You know, deliver me from evil, whatever it is. I'm digging myself a hole. I better stop. But you know what I'm saying? Pray, but don't pray, but pray. I think the best way I can... I help to bring clarity to people's lives here right now. I can see the... what are some of the things that can be our Pharaoh and deep red sea? Well, sometimes, you know, we might be going through a health crisis where we feel like just things are overwhelming and, you know, we're just crying out to God. God, you know, I'm in a situation where I need your help and strength. So as we trust God, as we continue to move forward with what we know to do, friends, just know that God will be with you through it and give you strength and the peace in that crisis, even when the outcome is unknown. There are relationship challenges down the bottom here. This is our family portrait, isn't it? But relationships can make us feel like there is no way out. You know, we get into situations where there's just conflict all the time. And it could be even in a work situation. You know, we've just recently heard a story about some bullying that's been going on in the workplace. And you just think, you know, there is just no, for that person just seems like there's no way out. And so what do you do? And there's, you just know that for us personally in a relationship situation, we've got to act in love and forgiveness and just allow God then to show us the way forward through that, even though it may seem like a hard thing to do. Work challenges. Everybody has work challenges. The pressure of work and stuff. And so in that moment, what do you say to yourself? You might be coming to a point where you say, you know, work's a bit too hard. Maybe I need to change my job. But then on the other side of it, you don't know if you're going to be a success. And then what about the financial stability that comes with it? And so you're caught between the situation. Say, do I play it safe or do I... you know, make the move and change my job. Now, I'm not saying that's the answer, but you need to bring that to God, bring it before him, and then get that peace so that you start to make the decision. Don't wait for God to change your job. Maybe it's time that you need to step out. Please don't quote me on that. And maybe there's doubt and confusion. You know, we all go through dry times in our walk with God. And so sometimes it's like we just want God to make a way, part the Red Sea, and suddenly this illumination happens from the Illuminati, this revelation happens that comes to us like, suddenly. But, you know, what we do is we just keep being faithful, keep practicing prayer, keep coming in fellowship with other believers, keep reading your Bible, keep doing all the things, the disciplines that we need to do. It might be hard, but... what's the alternative? Go back into Egypt? So let's just keep moving forward and see God do a work with us. Amen? So whatever our personal Red Sea may be, God will ask us to step out, to trust his ability to turn our barriers into opportunities for his glory and our growth. Now, moving forward requires courage and trust. It's not an easy thing to step out when you don't know what's going on. And there is a level of courage that is needed. And you know, sometimes we can read this scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we say to ourselves, God, I don't want to make a decision that's going to lead to the way of death. And that fear of failure, that fear of walking in the way of death could cause us to become frozen. To say, God, I don't want to make a move because I don't want to destroy my life. I don't want to hurt myself. But then God comes to us in that frozen place and he says, let it go. Let it. No, he doesn't. No, it was beautifully set up, Susan. But he'll say to us, listen, you know, it might seem right to you, but again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if we keep those things before him, yes, there might be a way that leads to death, friends, but if we keep our eyes on God, on Jesus, then he'll lead us away from death. Amen? You know, in that moment, we see Israel started to question God's care for them. They actually accused God of setting them up to die in the desert. Now, I don't think God wants to hear that kind of response for us. I just get this feeling. I don't think he wants to hear us grumbling to him about how unfaithful he is. If we do that, when we're grumbling, it's not a good sign of having a healthy and trusting relationship with God. And so whenever we respond with fear and doubt, questioning God's intentions, maybe it's a sign that our relationship with God needs a bit more work. Maybe God is revealing this, putting us in this situation and saying, listen, can you see that you don't trust me? Can you see that you doubt my sincerity towards you? And so maybe it's just evidence that there are some deep underlying issues that we need to work on. God brings us into these places to see the fear that we have, to say, listen, you need to grow in this. You need to deepen your trust. You need to trust me more. And so what God does might be uncomfortable, but God promises to meet us in our surrender to him. Now, the waters might not part immediately, but they will once we take that first step. So if you're facing a Red Sea moment, a situation that feels impossible, God may be saying to you, stop praying, stop crying out to me, trust me, and move forward. I say the truth is this, God is always ahead of us, making a way. Like he did, he told Moses, listen, I know how this is going to play out. I know the intentions of Pharaoh and his armies. I know how they're going to see this situation, but I need you to keep moving forward. And so even though it seemed like a dead end, God had already planned the Israelites' pathway to deliverance. And I love this because I feel this as well. Maybe I've got it wrong, maybe I'm picking it up wrong. But God used this situation to virtually put an end to an army, to a Pharaoh who would never have let them go. See, they could have crossed over into the promised land. But friends, if they didn't go through the Red Sea and have God drown the Pharaoh and his army, and if they didn't die, it could have been that Pharaoh and his army would have been a thorn in their flesh for a long, long time. And so God says, listen, this guy, he's a stalker. He's not going to let go. We need to cut this off completely. Amen. Friends, there may be situations in your life that God is wanting to say this to you. I want to cut this off right now. I've had enough of this hanging over your head, this hanging on, this gripping you for the rest of your life. It ends today. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you to a Red Sea moment, where you may not see that there's a way through, but listen, if you trust me, I'll get you through the Red Sea and I'll kill off whatever's chasing you. Hallelujah. Whew, that's a karate moment. So God was doing more than just building Israel's trust in him. He was using the situation to put an end to an enemy who could possibly have been a continual thorn in their side had he not killed them off in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's good. Sometimes, see, friends, God's plans are greater than our own problems, our thoughts and our ideas. So God is always working behind the scenes ahead of our movements. The problems that look like obstacles to us are not a problem to God. Rather, they are opportunities for him to do greater things in our lives. And when we keep moving forward in faith, we give God the opportunity to move in his power in ways that we couldn't even imagine. And so God's question to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Is a question to trust God and to take action. It's a question for Moses and the people to see that they needed to trust God in this situation. Friends, today God may be calling you to stop waiting in fear and doubt, but instead to start moving in faith. Whatever your Red Sea is, know that God is already ahead of you, preparing a way. Take that step, move forward in faith. And if you lose your house and everything, it's not my fault. But move forward in faith. Trust God. Pray first as well. Keep praying to God. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Don't blame me. But as we do, as we take the steps of faith, I believe we will witness God's power and faithfulness in ways that we never thought possible. Tom Hanks, a famous actor, one of the greatest actors of our generation. After playing a middle-aged American businessman who was sent on a business trip to Saudi Arabia in the 2016 film A Hologram for the King, never heard of it. Tom Hanks admitted in an interview that he related to the character's sense of self-doubt. See, friends, we all have that sense of self-doubt about us. But he says this. He says, no matter what we've done, there comes a point where you think, how did I get here? When are they going to discover that I am in fact a fraud and take everything away from me? And friends, that can be our testimony. That could be our witness. That could be our sense of who we are. But friends, we're not relying upon ourselves. We're not relying upon our skills and our abilities. Friends, we give those things over to God. You may be foolish. You may be the rejected thing in the world. But friends, he even agrees. But in God's hands, God can take what we have, even if it's a little, to make it more than enough. Howard Schultz was the CEO of Starbucks. He says, when it comes to leading a major company or being in an executive role, Starbucks Howard Schultz admitted to feeling undeserving and insecure. In an interview with the New York Times, he said, very few people, whether you've been in that job before or not, get into the seat and believe today that they are now qualified to be the CEO. They're not going to tell you that, but it's true. Friends, in all that God calls us to do, in all that God calls us to step out in, you may not feel qualified. You may not feel ready. Moses never felt ready. He never felt prepared. Gideon never felt ready. The disciples didn't feel ready. But friends, if we just give ourselves over to God, whatever it is we have in our hand, we just need to say, God, I give you everything that I've got. And step forward in faith, knowing that he will make a way. You know, looking back over my life, I've never regretted times that I've stepped out in faith instead of holding back and playing it safe. Unbelievable, I never thought that I'd be a person who'd take risks like I have in uprooting my family to go to the southeast and then uprooting. I never thought I'd be like that. But, you know, I just knew that God, there was a sense of the call of God, of the movement of God. And so I stepped out in fear. I stepped out with a lot of trembling. I can't say, I was bold and courageous. No, I was weak and wimping. But, you know, we just stepped out and we've seen God continually provide and open the doors for us. To see God at work is an invitation for us to get involved in what he's doing. It's our choice whether or not we respond to that. So ask yourself, friends, where might God be calling you to step out in faith, to trust his goodness and experience his deliverance? Pray and ask God, so I do believe in prayer, pray and ask him to show you what he wants you to know and do. Trust him to walk alongside you, to part the waters and to give you the courage that's needed. Again, let's read Psalm 37. The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hands and sustains him. He says, I have seen the young, and now I am old. This is someone else writing it. Yet I have not seen the righteous, those in the right standing with God, abandoned, or his descendants pleading for bread. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Lord, today we thank you for this word for us. God, that you're a God firstly, you're a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who is faithful, forever faithful, Lord God. And Lord, you've never left us in a place where we have been abandoned, where we have felt like, God, that you have left us to die. But God, there have been difficult times. There have been uncomfortable times. But God, those are times that you have used to stretch us, to grow us in our walk with you, grow us in our relationship with you, to deepen our faith. And so I pray for each and every one of us here today, God. Lord, there may be things in the past where we didn't take that step of faith, that perhaps we balked at the responsibility, at the cost that was involved. God, this is not a word to condemn us, to judge us for that, but Lord, perhaps to bring us back to that place where you are saying you need to go through this Red Sea. You need to take a step forward because I've got something new for you on the other side. And I thank you, God, that you use those experiences that we have. Lord, nothing's wasted. Nothing is wasted in your hands. And so, God, Holy Spirit, I pray, let faith arise. Let that courage and boldness arise in us because, God, we know that you've got so much more for us. For our church, for Restoration Church, God, I pray that we would be a church of courage, of boldness, Lord, to not hold back in stepping out and doing what you've called us to do. Lord, despite the challenges, despite the inadequacies, the lack of resources, whatever, God, that we can be a bold people and step out and do your will, to see your kingdom come and your will done. I pray that for Teen Challenge. I pray for that for the students in the program at Teen Challenge. I pray for every person in our church, God, that we'll be people that rise up in faith, trusting God, Lord, and see those Red Sea parted in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. We're going to finish off with a song.